I chastise my body and bring it into subjection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Several of you all have asked me about my recent trip to Rome, and then have moreover asked me either before I left or after I've come back, or some of you both times, if I wouldn't mind sharing some of the things that I saw while I was over there. And of course, I don't mind that at all, especially because of the fact that those experiences there and the things that you can see there, they bring so many great thoughts and meditations to the mind, because it is, or at least was at one time, the center of Christendom. Now, one of the many striking things that I was fortunate to do was to ascend La Scala Sancta, the holy steps. These, if you're not familiar with them, these are the steps that led up to the Praetorium, which is a platform by the house of Pilate, at the top of which he sat and would sit in judgment of cases brought to him. These steps are the very steps that Christ himself walked up in order to be judged and to be put to death by the order of Pilate. Now, that alone is source enough for great meditation. These steps were brought to Rome in the fourth century by Saint Helena herself. She had gone to the Holy Land. She had known that her son was going to her son, the Emperor Constantine, was changing the entire empire, not to be pagan any longer, but rather to now be the source of the foundation of Christendom. And as such, she went to the Holy Land to bring back relics of such great happenings for them to be placed at the head of Christendom. And so she found the cross of the crucifixion, brings that back. Nails from the crucifixion, those come back. The crown of thorns, the lance of Longinus, all of these things she labors to bring back for relics for people to have. And she even goes to the Praetorium and has all of the stairs taken apart and shipped back to Rome in order that the fellow Christians may honor God by seeing these relics. And so they came back and they were reassembled in one of the outer palaces of the Lateran. And there, from that point on, Christians would come, make a pilgrimage there, and climb those stairs. But they wouldn't just climb them. They would climb them upon their knees. They would climb them and pray as they went up them. They would think about and meditate upon the passion of our Lord. All of these things serve that one purpose, another means of growing in sanctity for Christians there. And so as I came to them the first time, I was struck by so many things, had so many thoughts come to me, some for my own personal meditation and edification, and as is the common habit of priests as we go anywhere, we're always looking for fodder for sermons because, you know, these things don't write themselves after all. So I was struck by all of these wonderful thoughts about the holy steps. And then thinking about when I would be here and when to preach, I was drawn to the realization that the steps in so many ways represent or are draw parallels at least between that and the upcoming season of Lent. Let me explain a little bit. First off is what you see upon first arriving at the stairs. I had never seen pictures of the holy steps before. So for me, I had only in my mind what it's drawn up from reading the scriptures and reading a commentary on the Passion and things like that, which goes into great detail about things, but it doesn't go into detail about stairs, rather than remarking that they're there. And so I had in my mind thinking that it would be a few steps up to where Pilate sat, but I arrived there and there is this, they go up this sort of tunnel looking type thing, and it's 28 steps. There's a huge number of stairs to go up. And Moreover, when you look, because of the way that it goes up this arched pathway to the top, it draws your eye up as if you're going, ascending up almost to a place that is so far on high, like you're going towards heaven. It's a bit daunting, actually, looking at it from the start. And you think, I have to go up all of those on my knees. But yet, you remember, these are the steps that Christ walked. And right away, you enter in there and fall down upon the first step. This is sort of like where we stand now, Septuagesima. All of the celebration of Christmas has come and passed. All of the rejoicing of the birth of Christ and the God made man, all the way up to the presentation in the temple, at the purification. And now we change speeds and we enter into Septuagesima. And we look and we realize Lent is around the corner. And we look at it, and that first look, that first realization is almost one that is a bit daunting. Because we see it and we realize, I have 40 days of fasting, 40 days of sacrificing, 40 days of penance to do to make it to Easter. I know from years past how that can seem long. I know from years past how much that could be a struggle. And I have that kind of gulp at the beginning of the Septuagesima, looking ahead to Lent. Next is the beginning on the steps. You start off and you kneel down on that first step and you're just filled with all of these emotions, all of this realization where you are, what you're kneeling upon, that realization that what you're ascending has been trodden by God himself. And you go in full with vigor and realize you can't wait to continue on up the stairs. One after another, you go and kneel upon them, ready to walk in the steps, or kneel in the steps of our Lord. Now, with that, it's good to understand that the steps now are covered in a very hard wood. They've been that way for 500 years now, because of the fact that so many pilgrims had come from the fourth century until then and done the same steps, that they had worn down the marble. And so in order to protect those steps further, a wood was placed over top of it. It's a very hard wood, and seeing as it's been there since for 500 years now, it too has grooves worn into it. Grooves from the thousands upon thousands of pilgrims' knees kneeling on it over the centuries. And these grooves are awkward, and they dig into your knees, and they cause a lot of pain. And as a priest, there's an extra added aspect to it that anybody who's ever served Mass can probably attest to understanding, is that as a priest wearing a cassock, you find a way to kneel on the buttons of your cassock upon these steps as well, which causes an extra added bit of suffering. And as you make your way along, you start to realize those first steps, that first zeal, that's worn off. And now you suffer. Now you realize this is painful, that this is a long journey upwards. You start to shake, you start to feel pain. And like I said, it seemed like every step I hit a cassock button along the way. And your body fights against your nature. Because at that point, you start thinking about yourself. Or at least those thoughts come to you anyways. You start thinking, oh boy, my knees are tired. My legs are tired. Everything hurts. I can't believe it. Another cassock button. These are the thoughts that come to your mind. And then all of a sudden you stop and you realize, what am I complaining about? Where am I right now? And you banish those thoughts from your mind and you move one step further on up. Like Lent, we start off full of vigor. We start off ready to go. ready to sacrifice. We know it's good for us. We know it strengthens our souls. We know it brings us closer to God every little bit of the way we go along. And so those first few days of Lent, we set aside the sacrifices we're going to do, the fasting, the prayers, the reading, whatever it may be, and we go into it full of energy. Because the sacrifices themselves, those aren't hard. When we fast, that's not a hard thing to do. We still eat three times a day. When we offer up extra devotions, how much time of your day does it actually take out? 15 minutes, half an hour? When we think about the things that we give up, what are we really giving up? Something small, usually. The sacrifice isn't in the action itself, really. Yeah, there's a tiny bit of sacrifice that goes along with that, of course. The sacrifice isn't in the action. It's in the perseverance in said actions. It's that realization that it's not just one day of fasting, one day of sacrificing, one day of praying. It's 40 of them. And as I go along, I hit busy days. I hit times where I feel weak. I hit times where it's more difficult. And I wonder to myself, do I really want to persevere? Do I really want to do this thing again? Do I really want to go without this thing? Am I going to make it through? And I have to have that same reflection. Wait, what am I doing? Who am I sacrificing for? And what am I trying to partake in such a small way? It's the sacrifice of Christ. It's his passion and death. It's the redemption of mankind. That's what I'm sharing in that small little way. And it's those type of thoughts that urge us forward to be perseverant in our sacrifices. The soul, the will, fighting against the weakness of the flesh. Because it is that perseverance to the end that we find the reward. When you persevere to the end of climbing those stairs, the holy stairs, all 28 of them, when you get to the top and you stand up, it's a great accomplishment. Why? You have the satisfaction that you have gone and prayed each step. You have made the way upon your knees to the top of those stairs, and you realize that now you gain the rewards. Plenary indulgence is now yours because you've ascended those steps. You see right before you a small chapel inside the other side of a grate. It is known as the Sancta Sanctorum, the Holy of Holies. It is the private chapel of the early popes of the church, where they would say private mass there. And then when you look in there, you see this very old altar, which is very beautiful. And in the center of it is a picture of the face of Christ. But it's no other picture. It is a heavenly picture. The art itself was started by the hand of St. Luke. He never completed it, though. But rather an angel came and completed the picture himself. And you realize what a treasure you've found. But isn't that so much like our daily struggle through that holy season of Lent? We sacrifice, we work at these things, but it's in the end, if we do so well, that we find the satisfaction and the reward waiting for us. The satisfaction of having pleased God by our sacrifices. The satisfaction of knowing that we have, in a small way, participated in his passion. Knowing that we gain great graces and indulgences for our souls. Knowing that by being faithful to those offerings, we ascend higher in sanctity in our lives. Knowing that year after year, by persevering again and again, that these things build up. These things bring us closer to our ultimate goal, that ascension to the top of the stairs and reaching the Holy of Holies, heaven. And there, when we look in, what do we find but the very face of Christ there for us to behold forever? May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.